Well, by way of context, too, I'm going to be presenting a review to you. And in terms of transparency, this does include interactive technologies that maybe are not that interactive, but we wanted to do an old review. So when we get to the slide about, well, what type are we talking about, I'll spend a minute there specifying that, and you can see. As you probably know, there's not all that much in existing evidence-based literature on some of the newer types of technologies. The other thing is, in terms of disclosure, is I'm kind of subbing here. The real mover behind this is Borsica Rabin, a colleague at Kaiser Colorado, and so I am really standing in for her, so you may be able to stump the chump here that's standing in with some of your questions, but I'll try and do the best I can. See, we don't have any conflicts. Being a federal employee, I have no income, and we maybe can generate a little conflict though later on. There is a different version of this paper that's published. So what are we going to try and do in the brief time that I have today? By way of background, as I'm sure all of you know, there's a very huge gap between the efficacy database of, you know, the proof of concept in the ivory tower world and what gets translated into practice, and that's really the basis for DNI research. I don't need to go over that, I don't think. In this paper, Borsica and our colleagues and I wanted to look particularly at external validity dimensions of the relatively recent interactive computer health technology. And these are some of the factors that I'm going to be speaking with you about that are outlined here. And I think with that, to keep on time, I'll just go ahead. Three primary questions today that we would like to talk about, and I should actually thank Seth Noir also for being the impetus for this opportunity, because we started doing a larger project that has become a chapter in a great book that he's doing. So if you have a chance, look for that. Should be coming out in the next few months, I think. Going to be a great book on e-health. So our first question is, what's the distribution of studies? And we did a semi arbitrary cut at what we called for this purpose T1 studies, which is basic first-time efficacy proof of concept, just really testing it under kind of optimal conditions, versus T2 plus, which was anything past that, but things that, and that's what we focused most on. It was the T2, because we wanted to see what does this have in terms of real-world application. But anything that talked about expanding the number of sites, adapting the intervention, getting it out in more, testing ways of implementing it, that's what we called T2, as opposed to just a first-time proof of concept, which was in T1. As I said before, we focused not solely, but we did emphasize external validity, and then we have a few conclusions of the literature on the DNI relevant characteristics that I'll explain when we get there. This slide is just the usual type review. Not myself, but Borsica is a very good systematic reviewer. So I think we did a fairly thorough job looking at these databases. You can see we looked between 1980 and 2010. And as you can see, we're reviewing a variety of types of modalities, if you will, that includes web, includes automated telephone. It does include the, if you will, the old literature, because we wanted a comparison where we did computer-tailored things as well, but a variety of things with two exclusions. One, we did not do the telehealth or telemedicine. If things were just from like remote monitoring of biological data, we did not include those, or the things where you're doing surgery remotely, that sort of thing. That was not in here. So I said we classified it into these two types, and then after an initial introduction, I'm going to focus largely on T2 here today. So this is just a framework that my colleagues and I find very helpful, developed by one of our colleagues now at the National Cancer Institute, Nguyen Khoury, and it just talks about the basic, what he talks about, different types of translation research. And you notice that going here from a basic hypothesis or just general hypothesis to discovery and then discovery to the development of an initial test intervention, that's T1. T2, 3, and 4 is everything else. Okay, so the first thing I want to get home when you see a next slide is what's the proportion of T1 to everything else here? How many of you are familiar with or have heard of the REAM literature? You can tell me if I can save some time. Not as many as I might have guessed. Okay, this is a framework. The acronym is goes down the side here. And the idea is that we're trying to focus on a variety of factors in addition to effectiveness. The effectiveness is important, but we're also concerned about issues about do you reach or get to the people that that need the intervention the most? Adoption, implementation, and maintenance have to do with the setting in it. So, like, did you kind of reach out or approach a variety of different settings, or did you just pretty much cherry-pick the very best setting that you know to get it in? Within that, implementing it, let's say if you're doing a primary care intervention, when you studied that, also, did you work with like all of the healthcare teams and all the providers, or just the ones that you know were the most excited, or the residents that had the most time, or were the ones that would listen to you? And how, what about often in e-health implementation has to do with things like use and utilization too, but also very importantly cost. And I'm going to come back to that because I think that's one of our big challenges we have. And then maintenance, which means both what it probably means to you at the individual level, does it sustain, but also we were concerned about the reporting on if it was sustained in the setting in which it was studied afterwards, or was it the more common thing, studies over, so we'll just go back to doing, you know, what we were doing before. So here's our requisite slide to, you know, show you we're good reviewers, so we rejected all the, we're real stringent and rejected all the studies, and so we end up with very few to review, you know. Isn't that what we're supposed to do in reviews? Actually, you can't quite see this, I'll be glad to talk afterwards, but we have identified just under 2,000 overall studies. Ended up after we tried to be fairly lenient, we did look for studies that had some type of comparison or control. We would take even a pre-post or a non-experimental control. It did not have to be an RCT to be an, unlike, you know, Cochrane views, and they did not have to be an RCT, but still we had a lot. And what we ended up with, one of the first take-homes, is of the ones that made it here for review, we ended up with 452 T1, or basic efficacy papers, compared to just 44. Less than one-tenth as many of this T2 that tried to do a little bit of going into the real world. This one just shows you the overall numbers of studies and the time frame. Not too surprisingly, as you can see, not much going on in the late 80s, more over time. I frankly don't know what's going on with 2009, and we're looking into that, but we've double-checked the dates. 2010 is an artifact because we cut it off. That was a partial year. But so the blue is the T1 studies, and again, the red is T2. So you can see we really haven't had much until pre-2000 at all in the T2 type studies. And that's what I'm going to focus the rest of my talk on now is the T2. But again, this usual phenomenon, we have over 10 times as much work on the early T1. In these colors that you can't see here, it shows the different modalities, and I'll just tell you the most common ones. The pink that you see showing up here is, not surprisingly, web-based. Okay, interventions, and obviously you can see they're increasing over time. The blue, which kind of varies from year to year, but particularly in 2007, which was our peak year, is multiple modalities. And in the discussion, we might come back to that, because I think that's one of the things that might be important and we might see in the future, is integrated use of multiple modalities to use each type of e-health thing for what it does well. Just some of the other things, IVR, or the automated telephone, is this orange here, which seemed to show up particularly in 2010 more. Just other types too, but those are the most common types. Okay, so getting into to what we found in terms of the characteristics of the study, one, we need a better term for this, but the majority of studies, and these are the T2 studies now, were what we called community-based, but that's really a misnomer. What it means is often these were kind of all-comers, or you put out an advertisement, or there's no real, it's no particular setting. It was not done through primary care. It was not done through a work site. It was not done in a school. It was just kind of general, and usually there was some type of advertisement that was put out there. As you can see, the second most were healthcare and schools. The study design, we did not require it, but again, you can see the majority of ones, I'm sure this has a lot to do with publication bias and what gets in, but the majority were RCTs. A number were group randomized designs here. In terms of the audience that we were focused on, or the target, 24 of these were essentially prevention studies for people that were at risk but did not have diagnosed disease, and 7 with disease, and I'm not sure the differentiation here. I didn't do my homework. I think healthy might be nothing, no risk factors at all, and at risk means they might have risk factors but not diagnosed disease. Down here, for those of you that are interesting, we are collapsing, admittedly, across a whole lot of apples and oranges here. By far, the most frequent studies had something to do with either obesity, physical activity, healthy eating, or you can't quite see at the bottom here. I'm not sure why that went off on this screen, but tobacco was the other one with 9 studies. So largely the lifestyle issues, eating around healthy eating or tobacco. So here's the guts of the results that I have to share with you. And again, these are by these REAIM constructs. And given the time, I'm just going to point out a few things. We were pleased to see that a fair number did report on the participation rate. That is, of those people who were invited, how many participated. In terms of effectiveness, sorry, I'm a Mac guy. I keep going back to the left click here, which I don't have. So let's see. In terms of effectiveness, I'll just point out, most everybody did use some multiple measures, which we thought were good. We were a little concerned that in terms of differential outcome, relatively little reporting on that, either by like computer literacy or race, ethnicity, age, anything like that. And nobody reported even looking for any adverse consequences. That was a bit of a concern to us. In terms of adoption now at the setting level, these are the contexts in which they're studied. In general, a lot less encouraging results, and you can see, again, the comparable thing, the participation rate for settings. How did you select your settings? How many participants? Only 6% reported. This doesn't say what it was, but very few reported even on that. Rounding out our REAIM implementation with the I in REAIM, some things here about protocol delivery or what people call fidelity was not bad, but one thing that we were concerned about, issues such as things, was there differential implementation of the staff? How was the program adapted at all? Very seldom reported, and maybe most discouraging, because this is the most frequent question I get, is cost. Hardly ever reported. And I think with that, I will go on to our conclusions here. So very few studies, less than 10%, were T2. The majority of the T2 ones were adaptations, either trying a new target group, a new modality, or something. Majority of studies focused on obesity-related issues or tobacco. And a lot of studies reported some aspects, but the reporting that was done was often partial, and there was no standard measures used for most of the external validity measures. In particular, the things in highlight here, health disparities, adaptation, to the extent to which they use a participatory approach, were not there very often at all. Our last slide and recommendation follows fairly directly. We think we need more T2 studies. We think we need more standardized or harmonized reporting on external validity. And with that, I just finished.